Am I doing my Gavin Newsom again?
Hello everyone, today is Thursday, February 26, 2026, and this is the Weekend Charts. Thank you, Randall. All right, I'm just going to thank all you guys and girls for attending. I appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule to be here. Thank you so much. All right, what are we going to talk about? Well, it's going to be similar to the last show we did back in early February. Obviously, current market conditions, your questions on trading, favorite stock, and crypto picks. And I'm going to continue with the missing piece. And boy, it's a lot of charts that I want to show you and all these open trades and recently closed trades. And that'll make sense in just 1 minute. But as I said, quite a bit. It wasn't until I actually saw someone trade successfully that it wasn't until then that I gained the confidence to do this myself or just know whether I'm doing the right thing. And I'm going to flesh that out again. All right, there's a disclaimer screen. As you know, you can lose money trading, or as I often say, all predictions about the future. And a lot of stuff could happen between now and then. And that's what's stolen from Greg Morris. There's all my contact information. You can also reach me at dave@davelandry.com. I answer all my emails eventually. I answer ones from clients as soon as possible, usually. All right, as I alluded to a second ago, when I was early in my trading career, I had mixed success, and it seems like every time I had a loss, I take it personally, and Mark Douglas talks about the knowledge gap. He's got some really good videos, God rest his soul, on YouTube on the knowledge gap, and when you're a novice trader, you just think that if only you knew a little more, or there's some missing piece you're missing, and if you knew a little more, you wouldn't have these losses, and you wouldn't have these frustrations, and you would have these emotions. Well, the reality is that all comes with the territory, and by me being able to work with a trader and help him pick stocks, and eventually, I got to be careful what I get into, but ghostwrite for him, and that helped me learn without any repercussions about how to approach the educational side of the business, which I found myself in by complete accident, but I don't want to dig that hole too deeply. But anyway, but seeing him trade and seeing him get better, even though he's already successful, get better over time, and seeing him go through a drawdown and then back off a little bit, and then come back to do more sort of sure things, so to speak. Nothing sure in this business. But anyway, being able to see someone actually do something really helps out. Now, there's a lot of gurus out there that'll show you a trade after the fact, like, oh, look at me, something they cherry pick. And believe me, I just did an article, I cherry picked a couple of trades, but those trades were actually open trades in the portfolio. It's an article for a Spanish publication in Spain, I should say. And yeah, you cherry pick those to show the examples, but also show me everything, good, bad, and different, warts and all. And you can go to davelandry.com/archives and you can get all these archives. And that's where I find the parameters and everything for everything that I show. And then the mystery charts are brand new recommendations. And every one of those goes into here. Anyway, it really helps to be able to see it all unfold. And when you're looking at the archives, and I don't know anybody else that does this out there. If you know someone, I'd love to look at somebody else's trades. Maybe I can learn from them. But nobody seems to put their trades out there. So I put all my trades out there, and you can look at them, warts and all, and see what I did good, bad, and indifferent, and you know, armchair quarterback, and see if there's anything you could maybe have done better, you know? But it's all out there, every trade. Now, as I said last time we did a webinar, what's not in the brochure is that all trend trades eventually end badly. And by the way, the only way to make money is to capture a trend. So in the end, it's gonna suck a little. So here's TFPM. This is one we got in way back in May. And then we're looking for $1,000 on the first loaf per 100K. We got a little bit less than that, possibly due to a gap entry, but better than a poke in the eye. And back in January, we had 6,796 open. And it sold off fairly hard, and it came fairly close to the trailing stop. And you would only gain 3,300 $382 if you're stopped out, assuming no slippage in commissions, and whatever you banked on the plus whatever you bank plus the dividends. But still, looking at the open profits, that's a $3,414 loss. Now, nearly all of that has been recouped since. So we now have $6,697 open. So $6,700, round numbers, open. It's probably going to be maybe a little tiny bit better than that today. It's having a tiny rally. But yeah, you're going to take some heat and you're going to give up some of those open profits. And if you go in and look at all the other little drawdowns and not so little drawdowns in between, especially like this one here, that was very significant. And it's very hard to hold through something that like that. Now, I have to admit, this is something I've been thinking about a lot lately, and I often talk about it. If I wasn't doing this trading service, I probably wouldn't be so disciplined in my trend trading, okay, for my position trading. And in doing this service, I'm forced to follow it, okay? So that's my commitment device, so to speak, is that I have to follow my own stuff. So there's a lot of times where I don't want to put my capital into harm's way because conditions are choppy, like now, okay? And so I won't do anything. It's like, well, I don't want to risk my money. I don't tell you to risk your money and not risk mine. So there's a lot of times when there's nothing to do, obviously. Anyway, that's sort of, again, my commitment device. It helps me to follow the plan and everything. KGC, similar pattern. We banked 1,000 on this one. Took forever, okay? Just went sideways forever. There's your dead money report right there. And then we had 12,225 open. And the stop was here, and you'd only make $71.50 if stop, plus, of course, the whatever you banked, right, $1,000. But that slide is very significant. Now, that's on a 100K account, so that's a $5,000 slide. If you have an account bigger than that, that would be much more significant, obviously. And then, fortunately, so far, we've recovered quite a bit of that, okay, quite a bit of the slide. The slide wasn't $5,000. But we required, it's come back, I should say. One cup of coffee tomorrow, Dave. Quite a bit, okay? Not quite the brand new highs yet, but it's come back significantly. Now, keep in mind that the idea with this widening stop on the second loaf is to ride out these longer term, bigger picture corrections. If we went into this stock and said, hey, we want to hold for a year, then your stop would have to be so big, it would be ridiculous, right? But we go into it saying, hey, we want to get a swing trade out. And if that trend begins to materialize, we're going to slowly transition into the longer term trend trader. And as I've said 1,000 times, this solves the problem of abysmal accuracy in horrendous drawdowns. Now, still $5,000 on 100K, that's 5%, okay? That's why I use 100K, just to keep the math easy. So that's a pretty significant drawdown, you know, make no bones about it. But with trend following, you will have to give up quite a bit of those open profits, and it comes with the territory. And as I preach, and that's one of the resolutions, you got to be super careful not to micromanage yourself when you start taking that heat. And yeah, every now and then you're going to get whacked, and you're going to think, wow, why didn't I just take that money when I had it? But in the end, in the long run, the best thing to do is just follow the plan. Otherwise, you're never going to catch any big winners, and the big winners are crucial to your success. As I've said ad nauseum, not that long ago, somebody ripped me a new one, and then they said, well, I didn't take those two huge winners you have in your portfolio, and it's like the cat inside of the PC chewing on the wire. You know, there's your problem, okay? So outliers are important, as I preach. Here's an IPO. I'm a huge fan of IPOs. There's two main patterns I trade with IPOs, and one is the buy at B, where you're buying a five-day closing high, but there's some caveats to that. And then secondary setups, that would be what I call a pioneer setup. A secondary setup would be to let the IPO open, and usually if it's $30 or above, this is what I do. I don't take that buy at B setup. So the buy at B of this would, 1, 2, 3, 4, you'd have bought on this day here, okay? that tends to work a little bit better with somewhat lower price stocks below $30 a share. It used to be 20, now it's below 30. And there's a few other caveats there that we don't have time to get into, but that I love that pattern. But my second favorite pattern would be a deep retracement and these higher priced IPOs, first deep retracement. So there's your parameters down below. And again, I'm doing a walkthrough on every stock in the open portfolio and every stock that recently stopped out. So there's your parameters. It's a fairly volatile stock, so the parameters are fairly liberal. And then it hits the initial profit target. Now, when it came close, probably on this day, if I had to guess, I likely took partial profits a little early just because it was close, especially after the second time it reached there. I probably took profits. You could probably look at the Facebook group and see what my text are there. Anyway, so when it did hit that officially, you should definitely take off $1,000. Again, I'm okay with a little bit of discretion, and I'll show you a little discretion in some of these. And so far, so good. 1473 open at the time this chart was grabbed. Now, here is AXTI. This was a recent setup. It's not a mystery chart because if I recommend the stock and it doesn't trigger, it's a mystery chart for the weekend charts. If it triggers in between the weeks or in between weekend charts, and I didn't mention it, then it's not a mystery chart. But if you look at the archives, you can see that this is not in hindsight, okay? Anyway, there's your parameters down below. Fairly volatile stock. Super wide stop, STOP, because it's a very volatile stock. That's what it calls for. Your stop must be set based on the volatility of the stock, okay? A tight stop, which seems to be universally preached, will all but guarantee you get stopped out on noise alone. So this one triggered, came back in a little bit, and that's one thing that you have to kind of wrap your head around. It seems like quite often you take a little heat going into a trade. But fortunately, within a few days, it rallied back to hit the initial profit target. And then so far, so good. And at the time of the screen capture, there was 2573 open per 100K. So far, so good there. We're making the transition to longer term trend trading. And you hate to use the word hope, but sometimes when they get crazy volatile like this and start going parabolic, you get that huge knockout move and it's hard to hold on. You get knocked out like glue did, which I think we have a trade. I think we have that in the slides in a few minutes, and I'll show you what I mean. Don't get me wrong, I love it when they go straight up, but it's a lot harder for the stock to sustain itself when that happens. AG. Now, this was a hard stock to trade because silver got whacked pretty hard. It looked like it was just in a really massive pullback, like a deep, super deep shakeout type of pullback. And this stock comes along, and this is a really good looking setup. And one thing I wrote about in that aforementioned article for the Spanish Technical Analysis magazine is setups don't exist in a vacuum. You have to consider market conditions, sector conditions. You also have to look at each setup. A setup is not a setup is not a setup. And years ago, when I was a little bit more mechanically oriented, I thought that was the case. If somebody developed these setups, that they just took whatever ones come along, and it doesn't work that way. Okay, you have to pick the best and leave the rest. And the years of mechanical programming and a lot of mechanical trading, I began to morph into a discretionary trader. I'm 100% discretionary trader now. Anyway, so this triggered it for a week, so it wasn't a mystery chart, but pretty solid trend in place. Also notice longer term trend in place, a Landry light down here, okay? A little bit of a kiss of the moving average there. And notice that, yes, it's in a longer term trend, and then in more recent times, it began to accelerate higher. Okay, so pulls back the moving average, Landry light goes to zero. There's the parameters down below. We'll take a look at them on the chart. Entry's here, stop is here, initial profit target is up here. So let's see what happens. Well, it triggers on an opening gap reversal, and I'm not sure. I have to go back and look. I just ran out of time, but I want to say that I probably entered on this day here as opposed to this opening gap reversal day, using a tiny bit of discretion. the risk there is you could miss a trade entirely if you have a big gap the next day. There's always a trade-off in trading. That's why they call it trading. But as a general statement, I'm not too keen on entering on that, like an opening gap or a stop, or I should say, well, like with a stock, just kind of nicks your entry. And I'll show you that with the DNN in just 1 second. But anyway, so far so good. We hit the IPT, banked 1,000, and it was 1287 open. Subject to change. So we have a mystery chart reveal this week, and that is PL. And again, a lot of those things I talked about earlier, this stock has persistency, okay? Very important. Notice that it tends to go up day after day after day after day after day before it corrects, okay? And as a general statement, it trades fairly cleanly. Of course, the big blue arrow is pointing higher, as is the Landry light, which is low is greater than moving average count. Comes down to the moving average. And there it is down there, PL. Landry light pullback. Entry was here. Now, the entry was a little bit higher on that day, but by the time it triggered, because it sold off a little bit, as you'll see in 1 second, I dropped the entry a little bit on that, okay, in case you're wondering. So you can see, like on that day there, where it began to implode, and then this day here, the entry came down. So the entry initially, if you go look at the archives, probably about 25, and then I dropped that down as the stock began to drop. So it triggers, kind of fails miserably again. Like I said a second ago, it seems like you often have to take a lot of heat initially on your trades before they get going. Now this one hasn't taken off yet, so we'll see what happens. We're in the black, but not enough to brag about or write home about, certainly. All right, we have a mystery chart reveal. This is DNN. That's uranium stock. Now you can see it had a TKO type of move down into the 30 EMA, and it's also a Landry light pullback. Now, I don't want to last week at Bandcamp here, but in the article that I just wrote, submitted yesterday, I think, the point I was making is if you were to only trade one pattern, Linda Rasky once said, all you need is one pattern to be successful. And my take on that is if you're not successful with one pattern, you won't be successful with 10. So learn one pattern inside and out before adding new patterns. Now, the point I was making in the article, and I've made this before, when I look back to my biggest winning trades, nearly all of them were Landry light pullbacks. And if they're not to the 30-day, they certainly were on like the 20-day. Now, they might have been TKOs and trip pivot pullbacks and all these other great and wonderful patterns that I trade. But they all, at least, for the most part, were Landry light pullbacks. Anyway, parameters are down below. Now, it drops a little bit, and that's why the parameters are a little bit lower than what was originally shown. But you can see, nice little pullback, little TKO move into the 30 EMA. Entry stop, and then initial profit target is up here. Now, it rallied up and sort of barely triggered that entry. So I applied a little discretion and I didn't take the initial trigger, but I took a secondary trigger. Okay. And I believe I talked about that in the Facebook group, and I try to walk you through, you know, that's the beauty of having that group out there, Dave Landry's Trend Traders, is I put my service out. Okay. And that's kind of like these very mechanical type of entries and stop and initial profit target, all this other stuff. But then I could show you how I actually put that into practice. Okay. And sometimes now I've missed trades before using discretion. So let me just explain that. You can possibly miss a trade, but it seems on a net basis overall, I've probably done better over the years by missing a few winners, even missing a few winners by missing a few losers. When the stop just kind of nicks the entry, comes right back in, which has happened. Which happened initially in this particular case. Anyway, $528 open, better than the poke in the eye on that one. Now, this is one, like I said earlier, sometimes you get these wonderful moves higher, and they feel good and they're a lot of fun, but longer term they're hard to sustain because trees don't grow to the sky. Anyway, on this particular one, just FYI, we were down 1686. We were very close to getting stopped out for a full 2K loss of this thing. And it was about 9 days. And the same gentleman that ripped me a new one I talked about earlier, he ripped me a new one on this. And it was kind of exciting because the email he sent was on this day here. And he was telling me how bad I suck. And then the next day it gapped open. Now, I didn't want to put salt in his wounds or anything because I'm sure he already exited. But it made me feel good like I'm following the plan. Now, keep in mind that, I'm an emotional guy. As I've said before, I'm probably too emotional to trade. I cry like a schoolgirl if I'm forced to watch a Nicholas Sparks novel or if I willingly watch a Formula One documentary such as Senna and Schumacher. And, here's the thing. They usually end badly, but I enjoy the heck out of them. It's fascinating what a team of people can do in a highly competitive sport. Plus, these guys are just amazing athletes. Anyway, that's the original parameters. And again, we had a pretty ugly loss on that one. And getting back to the what ifs, what would the world be without hypothetical questions, right? Spelled with W. But if I didn't have a trading service, because I believe me, I was tempted. I was just looking at this thing and I'm watching these numbers get bigger day after day. And I take every trade exactly the amount or more in my model account. So I forget the share size on this thing. But oh, there it is, 455. Okay. So I bought probably 500 shares of a model account. And I'm watching this thing, these losses mount. Now, I can guarantee you, I don't want to get into how much because you might ask for a loan or you might laugh because you think I should have more than that. I don't know what the case may be, but either way, I do have other accounts and I can tell you that that number was significantly bigger. That number's plenty big enough, believe me, okay? So not am I looking at a 1686 loss, I'm looking at a loss much bigger elsewhere, okay? And that was painful to hold through, but because I'm putting out a trading plan, I have to follow my own plan. And fortunately, it did take off, obviously. Now, this was crazy. That was a $2,800 swing. And volatility has increased so much. And one of you guys in the group, John, was saying that, he's like, I'm only gonna look at my portfolio every couple of days. And believe me, you come in, you look at your portfolio. You making all this money, and a little while later, it's like you're losing money. It's like the ups and downs are really crazy right now. But fortunately, we've done really well. Knock on wood. Come in. Anyway, we got stopped out for 364 or 0.36, about 0.4% on the remainder of the count. Decent trade overall. So you made a little bit more than 1,000 on the first loaf, and then you made 364. I'm not in PL. Would you enter now if you were not in? Well, it might be college fund worthy. Put all your grandkids' college funds. We'll take another look at it in a minute, but maybe enter above 26 if you were thinking about it. And that way it would be like a re-trigger above the recent little peaks because it's come back in a little. Look, am I doing my Gavin Newsom again? Just real quick, Landry 100 speculations alive and well. Right before it went live, I just grabbed the sorted by tracking. Now, this Landry 100 has a constant window dressing, as I say quite often. Window dressing is a portfolio manager puts the hot stocks in his portfolio right before he reports, okay? And I guess he takes some stinkers out. And this way, his if you're like, like back when the video was really hot, it's like, oh, okay, I've got this fun. Is he in the video? He better be. Oh yeah, he's in the video. Yeah, he's a good guy. Okay. Now that sounds a little disingenuous, and maybe it is, but my idea with this Landry 100 is a constant window dressing. So every day I'm cleaning it up, okay, throwing out the stinkers and keeping the winners. So that's all you have to do if you ever want to make money trading. Get rid of your stinkers and keep the winners to an extent. You have to give them adequate enough room to breathe. Like earlier, one of those stocks, I forget which one, AXTI, I think was a 34% Stop. Now that sounds crazy, and even ludicrous would think that's ludicrous, but if you're looking at the chart, it's like, okay, well, entry's here, stop is here. That makes sense, right? But a lot of people get hung up in that. And I've done presentations where it's like in Caddyshack, it's like 50 cents for a Coke. I ain't paying no 50 cents for a Coke. Well, you ain't getting no Coke. Anyway, speculation is still alive and well, and TA is still working. I'm going to come circle back to this. TA still works, okay? Although people have their doubts, which is great. The more people that doubt things, the better off we are, okay? If everybody figures it out, we're screwed. Think about that, okay? Anyway, look at these numbers in here, okay? 1284. Now, the point I was trying to get to earlier is, although there's a constant window dressing, I'm keeping the winners, okay? And this is a wonderful exercise. I don't know why I quit doing this years back. I know why, because they changed software, the market got really choppy, and it just wasn't worth the hassle. But I'm glad I restarted this. But looking at some of these numbers, look, or dates, I should say, April of 25, okay? So some of these, I don't know if they have any up here. Well, they'd be winners, but some of these we've been in for a long, long time. The portfolio has been in. This is a hypothetical portfolio. The service, the trading service is hypothetical, but I do actually take the trades, okay? Now, I am long some of the stocks in here. AXTI is in here. AG is in here. There's the AG, right? So the AG is up 93% since I put it in. And if I kind of went through all of these, oh, look, there's PL. I'm long PL. There's another one, okay? So you could see this could actually be a feeding ground. And every day I do look at all 100 of these plus another 2,000 stocks to find potential opportunities. And a lot of opportunities do come out the Landry 100. Now, I publish Landry 100 in my Facebook group to my clients, and I also publish it to my paid subscribers on Substack. If you want to take a look at this, I update Substack once a week, and then usually at least once a week in my Facebook group, or whenever I get a request, I share the list. All right, any questions on anything? Okay, lately we've been doing a series on trading resolutions for 2026, and I only have a few I'm going to cover this week, and then next week, hopefully, God willing, we'll be able to wrap it up. All right, number 21, I would do my homework leaving no stone unturned, especially in less than ideal conditions. Now, the story I've told ad nauseum is I have a client, I think he's semi-retired, and he said, Dave, I don't see how you can come up with any setups in the foreseeable future. So I'm going to stay with the service, but you know, I'm going to take a break. I'm going to go on vacation or I think he said something like, I'm going to find something far more interesting to do. And I was like, okay, well, I'll still be here if you want to check in and I'll still do the work. And that night I found two stocks that became two of the biggest winners of the year. And that's a reoccurring problem. I think you should call it African Queen Syndrome. In the movie African Queen, spoiler alert, in case you had time to watch it, it's only been out about 100 years. But they're trying to get to the lake, and the Germans are chasing them, and they go through all these trials and tribulations, and finally they're exhausted, defeated, deflated, they give up. And the camera pans back, and they're like a couple hundred feet from the lake in like a marshy area. And then the tide floats them out, and then they get captured by the Germans, and all these other things. But anyway, it's a good movie. It really is. Katharine Hepburn. But you have to do your homework, even in less than ideal conditions. You know, right now I'm guilty in crypto. You know, to do as I say, not as I do. I haven't done my crypto homework, or at least much homework lately, because the crypto market is just crap right now. We'll see that in just one second. But you really have to do your homework, especially in less than ideal conditions, because you never know when that next big winner is going to come along. Now, I would say make sure you leave no stone unturned, okay? So I look at roughly 2,000 charts a day. I'm looking at sectors, the dollar, gold, and any other relevant commodity such as crude oil, okay? I run very loose parameter scans. My scans produce about, it depends on the market conditions, but upwards of 2,000 stocks a day. And usually when I get down to about an eight, it depends on the market conditions, okay? Sometimes I'll go below. Sometimes if we're looking for shorts, I might go a little lower in HV. But right now, when it gets to about 25, I think I've seen enough for historical volatility reading. You want to trade stocks with a volatility rating higher than the overall market. You're not going to beat a market by using stocks with volatility less than the market. I would never throw anybody under the bus, but somebody years ago actually tried to flip that on its head and said lower volatile stocks. I wholeheartedly disagree. And the main reason I disagree is because something bad, excuse me, could still happen in a lower volatility stock. And you know, what was the Hewlett Packard CEO? There was a soft porn star, and I did all the research, so it was definitely soft. I mean, the soft porn, the research that I have to do here is very exhausting, you know. And in case my wife walked in, I would say, oh, I'm just doing some research for my weekend charts. You'll see. But anyway, he thought since she was okay with doing these sort of things that he could chase her around the desk and get away with it. It turns out she wasn't too keen, you know. I'll tell him, but he won't be too keen. Mighty Python. Anyway, a couple thousand charts a day. I look at a bunch of sectors. And again, loose parameter scans, the indices, of course, ETFs, IPOs, and crypto, when the crypto market is looking okay. I know, that's a mistake. I should look at it anytime, all the time. Number 22, I will only trade the charts and ignore all extraneous information. News is noise, okay? Doesn't mean that news doesn't affect the markets. You can't predict the news, and you certainly can't predict the reaction to the news. So it's read my lips. I ignore all news. Now, a few years back, I had a really crappy summer. Summers usually aren't fantastic, okay? And at the end of summer, after my crappy summer, a client emailed me, says, well, everyone knows you should sell eBay and go away. Not exactly true. Tom McClellan, a while back in the AAPTA meeting, gave a presentation that shows that that's not exactly right. And one of the reasons that it's been accepted is things that rhyme tend to be more universally accepted. They weren't stupid in the OJ trial when they said, if the glove doesn't fit, you must acquit, okay? And getting back to that sell in May, we're going to take a look at the P's real quick. Had you sold in May, some of those biggest winners in the portfolio, up 100% and 60%, 70% or whatever, were put on way back last May. And if you'd have followed that adage, you wouldn't have caught those trends. So trends can happen in any market at any time, okay? You just have to be ready. You have to always be ready. It's kind of, what's the old Bible quote about the lamp oil or something? Something reminds me of that. Anyway, you should not be trading due to all these tariffs, okay? Somebody was emailed me, like, oh, you, how can you recommend stocks with all these tariffs? It's like, because I'm a technical analyst, and that's what I do. That's how I roll. Hey, Dave, hope you're well. I'm afraid TA cannot predict or protect us against the moves of a corrupt world leader who gets off on moving markets. And my answer to that was, I'm reminded of Waddles, The Science of Getting Rich, when you begin to let politics creep into your trading. And I went on to say, in my answer's email, that I got caught up in things many, many years ago. I wasn't too keen about what was happening politically, but guess what? The market was going up. So the trend following moron in me had to close my eyes, had to push that aside. I'm like, there's no way this market could go up with all this crap going on. Well, the market went up, okay? The market had an unbelievable run, you know, from all these tariffs and stuff. It had initial negative reaction, as we'll see in 1 second. But then it went ahead. We had one of the best summers ever, like I said. And anyway, Waddle said, do not waste time thinking or talking about the shortcomings or wrong actions of plutocrats or trust magnates. Their organization of the world has made your opportunity. All you get really comes to you because of them. Do not rage against corrupt politicians. If it were not for politicians, we would fall into anarchy and your opportunity would be greatly lessened. So you might not agree with the system, but the system is in place for better or for worse, and you have to deal with that. And as I've said, here's the point I wanted to make. But as I've said before, I had one gentleman would send me, I used to read, at first I read them all, but then after about a dozen of them, I realized this was becoming an exercise of futility. And he was convinced that the Forex markets were manipulated. I was like, okay, well, if you can figure out how they're being manipulated, jump on the side of the manipulators, kind of like an opening gap reversal. You know that the market makers are going to try to manipulate the market to push it higher because they have to buy the stock from you if you're trying to dump it on them, right? So you can try to get on the side of the manipulation through technical analysis, of course. So here was my initial answer to him. Over the years, there's been many who have contacted me about market manipulation, insider trader, trading, et cetera, tariffs, as I mentioned in the prior week of charts. I don't have a date on this, but I could find it. I too have been caught up in it before, many years ago, especially since I wasn't too keen on the politics at the time. I've learned to just ignore it all. I do think in the end, TA will win. The corrupt will leave their footprints. I'm reminded of Waddle's when you begin to let politics creep into your trading. So you have to ignore all that stuff. Now, here's my testament on technical analysis, okay? You go back to late 2024, and what was the market doing? According to Landry Light, it was going up. According to Big Blue Arrow, it was going up. Okay, Landry Light's chopping back and forth. Highs are greater. Lows are greater than moving averages. Highs are less than moving averages. Highs and lows are intersecting the moving average. Okay. And what happened? The market's going sideways. Look at the net price change. Okay, from let's just say somewhere around November, December to almost the beginning of March, and the market on a net basis hadn't gone anywhere, right? And the Landry Light reflects that. The downside, we had that big spill. Now, during that spill, go back and look at the presentations from earlier this year. Go download the archives, daveland.com/archives. So watch the archives. And you'll see that we were shorting fairly heavily back then. Now, we eventually got stopped out. Fortunately, I think most all of them had a profit, or all of them had a profit. And then what did we start doing as like good trend following morons? Well, we started buying stocks. Notice that we had all green Landry Light, okay? And notice that beautiful trend. And oh, by the way, when did it start? In May, okay? But Keith, everyone knows you should sell all your stocks in May and run away. No, follow the plan. And then of course, the net price change going all the way back to October, okay, is pretty much zero. That's what I call the Rip Van Winkle test. Where is the S&P right now? 6,900, round numbers, okay? Where was it back in October? 6,900. We haven't gone anywhere. The arrow, connect the dots, is going sideways. Somebody says, I can't believe you could actually make money by drawing arrows. Like, yeah, you can, you know? Believe it or not, you can. Okay, if the arrow's pointing down, you need to be out of the market or shorting. If the arrow's pointing up, you need to be long, okay, and holding. And if it's going sideways, if you have any leftover longs or shorts, whatever, hang on to them until stopped out. But be very cautious about putting on new positions. Now, I don't know how long it's been, but it's probably been a few weeks since I've recommended a new stock to trade. Probably was that DNN or AG. You can go back and look at the charts and see. And when I look at the spreadsheet tonight, I can tell you. But the thing is, I haven't recommended a lot of stocks lately. The market's going completely sideways. Doesn't mean that when a good-looking setup comes along, I won't take it. I think we could find something in energies fairly soon, okay? Biotechnology, possibly, if it could break out to the upside, right? And a few other areas, defense, which is trending nicely. some of our, well, one of our biggest winners was in defense last year. It looks like it's trying to make new highs. Semiconductors making new highs. We could find some new semiconductors soon. Okay. And maybe in one of these sectors that's trading higher in spite of the market, okay, going sideways, might offer us an opportunity. Now, ideally, you want to have all three pointing in the same direction. Now, so there's my thumbnail technical analysis using my patented big blue arrow, right? So what happened in 2025 and part of 2026? Well, tariffs, talked about that. Government shutdowns, we bombed Iran. Charlie Kirk was assassinated. There's been an AI race. We had a lot of earning periods. Wars were settled. There's new wars, Epstein fraud, Supreme Court rulings, terror attacks, wildfires, three back-to-back plane crashes, and the Texas floods. And those are just a few. We could go on and on and on. That's kind of akin to what Greg Morris did in Investing in the Trend. And he gave a presentation once where he did the same thing. He shows a chart, and he's got the name of the chart is blacked out, and he lists all the wars and earnings periods and everything that happened during that period of time. And it's like he says, okay, I want you to go in the chart, especially if it doesn't have a calendar on it, and pick out when those events were. And I bet you can't do it. I know you can't do it. All right, let's hop into crypto real quick. If you have any questions, let me know. Let me just get the crypto up and running. Okay, let's take a look at crypto. As I've said, I forget where it was. I think it was up about 90,000. I put out a tweet saying, it's always darkest right before it gets more dark. And I know someone, met him fairly recently, and he has his entire life savings in Bitcoin. And he's a little bit older gentleman like I am. You know, and I said, okay, but you know, do you have a plan? He's like, if it drops, I'm gonna buy more. I'm like, oh, that's not a plan. You know, every asset class at some point in your life will lose half of its value. Okay, where was Bitcoin? 120 something. Where is it now? 60 something. Okay, divide 120 something by two, round numbers. 120 divided by two is 60. So there it is. That's an asset just lost half its value. Gold, just name any asset in the world. They always preach like, oh, these are good long-term investments. No, nothing's a good long-term investment. Doesn't mean that I won't stay with something for 10 years, okay? If it continues to perform. But when it begins to underperform, I kick it out. Anyway, that's Bitcoin. Ethereum probably just as ugly or uglier. Okay, that's 4,000 and that's 2,000, okay? Or more than 4,000 and less than 2,000. Oh, what's that divided by two? 2,000, right? Or less. So that's lost half of its value. It happens, right? That's why you have to use stops and be willing to get out of the way. Now, as I said, as I've said ad nauseum, as a general rule, when Bitcoin's doing well, the shitcoins get a little bit excitement, and you can come in here, SHYT, and trade these. And sometimes you can just buy the ones that are going up the most. And now is not one of those times, okay? At the least, if you're trading any of these shitcoins, do not buy any market unless it's at least above the 30 EMA. Okay, unless you have some Landry light above the EMA, because look at this slide here. And then if you look at Bitcoin or whatever, that 30 EMA would have really saved your butt. Anyway, so nothing to get excited about here. If there's any individual ones you want me to look at, I'll be happy to do so. If not, I'm going to go ahead and shift gears and we're going to cover market conditions for stocks. All right. Let's see what the winners are here. So here's today's winners in the Landry 100. 16%. That's better than a poke in the eye. Okay. Now there's losers too, but we'll kick them out, right? I wrote an article a while back called Be a Tyrant, and you have to just, and that was motivated by a client who told me that he used to treat his portfolio like they were his little darlings, like they were his children. Okay. If you're a parent, you know anything short of mass murder, you're gonna give the kid a second, a third, a fourth chance. You know, you might have to slap him upside the head a little bit, but you're gonna stick with it, and you're gonna continue to love that child and help that child in any way you can. But stocks are not your children, okay? You have to treat them like employees. And as I've said 1,000 times, there's not a lot of analogies that really work with the real world to trading, but treating your stocks like employees does. If you have 3 employees busting their ass and 1 employee sitting on his ass, who should get fired? Well, fire the ones that are working hard, because they're liable to quit working tomorrow. But maybe that guy sitting on his ass will start working tomorrow. So you want to keep him around a little bit just to see if he eventually starts working. No. You know, that's that one little thing there. That's all you have to do, right? With trading, that's it. Easier said than done, but it can be done. All right, the P's, they're just all over the place. What a pain in the butt, okay? And that's why I felt pretty good the last couple of days. Like, this thing's coming back. It's pushing through its overhead supply. We might just do okay. And then what happened today so far? Well, they ain't over, but so far, we're getting whacked in here. So it's very hard to pick a direction in the market that's just chopping back and forth, okay? So this is why I'm being super selective. Not that I'm not always selective, but I'm being super selective when putting on new positions. And why you haven't seen a lot of new positions lately in the service. And believe me, you don't want to chase action. And I've said this 1,000 times, but many years ago when I was part of Trading Markets and I eventually started a service with him, I got into the educational business by complete accident. I was on more on the institutional side. And anyway, they asked me to do a service. So I was like, okay, well, that's fine with me. I can do it. I'm doing the work anyway. And I quickly found out when there was nothing to do and I said, do nothing, the salesman would call me up and complain. And I'm like, well, there's nothing to do. And the reason they complained was if I recommended stocks that didn't work, we'd lose a few clients, but not many. Okay. But if I did not recommend stocks, we would lose a lot of clients, okay? And I'm probably losing clients now because I'm not recommended to do anything. And boy, I tell you what, whenever somebody says, Dave, there's got to be something we could do. It's like, you know what? I would have killed back in the day to have someone tell me, Dave, stop trading. You don't need to trade. The story I've told there before, which is, I think, in the layman's or maybe my first book, is that I was doing some S&P future trading, and that's back when it was a big contract, $500 a point. It was pretty damn scary. I had way too little money to be doing that, right? And I did fairly well for a while. And then all of a sudden, I couldn't hit the side of the barn from the inside of the barn, right? And I went to a traders conference, and I was pouring my heart out to one of the attendees, or anybody would listen to me. And a guy was like, have you plotted the ADX on the S&P? And I'm like, well, no, I know what he said. He goes, have you plotted the S&P 500? And I'm like, every day, of course. You know, I look at him like he pooed his pants. And he goes, well, you hadn't noticed it's gone sideways? He said, ADX is like 5 or something. And it hit me. It's like, okay, I'm trying to make something out of the market that looks like this, just all over the place and chopping back and forth. Anyway, NASDAQ getting whacked. This is a bit of a bummer because it was climbing back through this overhead supply. But now it's getting whacked again, okay? And now we have Landry Light below that 50 simple, okay? We also have bow tie downtrend proper order. The bow ties will help to keep you on the right side of the market, okay? Uptrend proper order back here, downtrend proper order back here, meandering back and forth back here, okay? Sideways, down, up. Just another one of these little trend matrix. Very simple to see and recognize. That could help to keep you on the right side of the market. So NASDAQ composite, not doing so hot. The Rusty. I keep saying the Rusty looks like it has the potential to rally out of a pullback. But if that doesn't happen soon, I'm going to become very concerned. By the way, if there's any individual stocks you want me to look at in YouTube, I'm sorry. I'll get to you in just 1 second. I know you guys are waiting over there. If there's any individual stocks you want me to look at, let's go ahead and start punching those in now. I realize once I started the group, we don't have as many. All service, look at that. I never remember all service stocks being that persistent in their trend. Normally, they look more like this, up and down and up and down and up and down and up and down. But that is beautiful. I've never seen that type of persistency that I can remember, at least. So all service and energy stocks overall looking pretty damn good. Energy stocks right at all-time highs. Look at the persistency here. That usually doesn't happen. So we could see some setups here, even though the market's sideways to lower today, I guess. Gold, the commodity, I don't know what happened here. I guess we had a little spill earlier, kind of Flatsville. Now it's trying to rally out of a pullback, as you can see from these little lines in here. One thing that could happen when you have a deep pullback is the market could rally up a little bit and then roll over. But I'm going to use a word you should never use. Hopefully, it'll go on to make new highs. Copper is looking pretty good today, notwithstanding. That's the commodity, or the miners, I should say, the stocks. EFA shares, the rest of the world, been doing pretty good today, notwithstanding, but just right off all-time highs, that looks okay. Internet's been absolutely abysmal, okay? Big blue arrow pointing down there. Bowtie was way back here, okay? So that's an ugly market. You know, and if you ever say, well, Dave, that's in hindsight. No, the bowtie rolled over way back here. And it's like a friend of mine who kept buying and buying and buying and averaging down to the stock, and I draw a big blue arrow on it. And he says, well, that's in hindsight. I said, well, hang on a second. You know, that arrow is going back a year. And a year ago, you told me you were buying this stock. And then obviously since then, it's just continued to tank. They went bankrupt. And so that's not in hindsight, right? And I know a lot of times it appears like some of these things are in hindsight, but is this in an uptrend or a downtrend? It's in a downtrend, okay? So it's not in hindsight. Gold stocks doing pretty good, a little bit better than the commodity, just shy of all-time highs. You have a little leverage with gold stocks, okay? If the company is profitable and they're making $1 per share of gold and gold goes up $10, now they're making $11 or whatever. I don't know what that. Depends on what their break even is or whatever, but you can see how that leverage could work in their direction really, really quickly. Back to the downside, broker dealers looking pretty ugly, a little bit of a retrace, but it looks like a top remains in place there, bow tied to the downside. Biotechnology, I'm kind of a biotechnology bull longer term, and it looks pretty good longer term still, but today's action a little concerning. I think I have some LabD shares I put on this morning still. Yeah, they're doing okay. But I wanted to go up. It's like I like biotech to go up. It's one of my favorite areas of trade because look when it trends, it's like butter, okay? Some of those huge winners in the portfolio were biotechs, recent and current. But anyway, we're getting whacked today. We're back below the 50 simple. And a net basis is pretty sideways. I still think if it can continue to base it here, it doesn't break down. And there's a couple of ifs, right? That would have the potential to break out to brand new highs and beyond. But right now it's getting a little ugly, or certainly sideways. So you probably want to avoid biotech unless you think you have the mother of all setups. Infrastructure, just off of all-time highs, that's looking pretty good. Back to the downside, software has looked abysmal. I don't know why software is going down. If anybody knows, let me know. I mean, it's as a technician, you shouldn't care, but every now and then I get a little curious. Healthcare providers have broken down. That's still looking ugly. Medical devices still looking ugly. A little bit of pullback there. A little wide and loose, but obviously rolled over. Back to the upside, defense, not too far away from all-time highs. Possible minor double top in the works, but still looking pretty good longer term. Transports have been doing fairly well, just shy of all-time highs. So that's a good thing. Mags still looks like a major top remains in place there, down around the 200-day moving average. Kind of hugging it. That's kind of interesting, right? Break down below that would be, as we say in Mexico, no bueno, or as it is in Mexico right now, no bueno, huh? Agribusiness, look at that. Bit of a bull flag in the works there. That's looking pretty good. MOO Foods, looking pretty good. Not sure we're going to find anything worth trading here. HV is a little low, but it's possible. Who knows? Major drugs, they can hit a little bit. They could use a little bit of a correction. They've been in a really good uptrend for quite some time. Rare Earth was just off of all-time highs, getting hit a little bit today, getting thwarted its old highs. Still looks okay longer term, though. Robotics and AI, it's been doing great. A little bit of a TKO move there today. We might see some setups there fairly soon. Semiconductors, all-time highs yesterday. That's a bit of a bummer, but a TKO today. I am still long, I think. Yeah, I'm long some success today. Software concern is AI cutting into business. Thank you, Chris. According to CJ, that makes sense, okay? I guess AI could solve your problems, right? Well, so many problems. Yeah, nice little TKO move there. I would have liked to see them break out a lot bigger than they did before getting whacked, but they look okay longer term. Solar's getting whacked today. Still in a pretty decent trend, though, so that's okay. Veggie and things agriculture-related, like the Moo ETF we just looked at, still looking pretty good. Just kind of pull it back a little bit. Financials look abysmal. They've pulled back a little bit, but looks like a major top remains in place there. And utilities have been doing really well as of late. Utilities are starting to act more like momentum stocks. Easy for me to say. So we could see some setups here fairly soon. I think we've traded a few utilities going back many years. I don't really remember that we traded any or all, but I think there's been a few. Utilities are starting to trade a little bit more like momentum stocks. And I guess it's because of, I don't know, commoditized business or something, or AI or whatever. Am I confusing the issue with facts? Every night you get curious, you know, but you can't factor that into your trading. Okay, let me check on my YouTube peeps and while we're at impasse. And if there's any individual stocks you guys want to talk about, let me know. Otherwise, again, while we're at impasse, I'm going to go ahead and start to wrap things up. Obviously, I want to thank all you girls and guys and girls for attending. I appreciate you taking time of your busy schedule. Anything you'd answer, DaveLandry.com. Going once, going twice. All right, everybody have a great weekend. I'll see most of you guys and girls on Facebook in a few minutes. Everyone else, again, have a great weekend, and hopefully we'll see everybody again next week. And above all, may the trend be with you. Thank you so much. You're welcome.